We're glad that you braved the cold to be with us this morning. I know when I woke up, I saw three this morning, which is impressive. I've never been as happy to walk in to the church and realize that everything was working the way it was supposed to with our heating system this morning. So that was great. Hope you all have managed to stay warm. We certainly continue to gather to bask in the warmth of the light of Christ, and so we particularly do that in this season after the Epiphany. That we have just changed that season. Yesterday was the day of Epiphany, so we continue to celebrate that light of Christ today. Want to draw your attention, you've probably heard me talk about this before, but we are going to be taking 8 of our high school youth from Holly Grove this summer to Houston for what's called the ELCA Youth Gathering. And this is basically all of the youth in that age range, the high school age range in the ELCA, are invited to this. And it's something like 30,000 people get together, and it happens every 3 years. And we gather for worship and for service and for some fun together. It's going to be Houston, which was chosen before Houston was hit by several big storms. But it sort of gives a new taste to what we're going to be doing while we're there, that there was so much flooding going on. So we are thrilled that we're going to get to be part of that effort to clean some things up and to do some service among the people of Houston, some of whom I know personally, since that's where some of our family is. This is a big trip, and it's expensive. We think it's certainly worth doing. So you'll hear more about this. The kids' families are paying about a third of the total cost themselves. We're doing fundraising. The church is going to help out some. One of the ways that we're going to fundraise is coming up on the 20th of January. It's a Saturday coming up. And we are going to have the kids do some phone calls to ask people if they'd support them. So we're talking about friends and family, but also church members. It's what I'm asking them each to raise is $400, but I'm not asking any one person to do that, right? So the ideal scenario would be if they could get 10 people to sponsor them for $40 each. If that would not be attainable, let's have as many people give $5 and $10 and $20 as we could to support them. So all of this happened 3 years ago, and it went really, really well. But I had several people say to me, man, I would have supported a kid's trip, but nobody called me. For you, I have this list here today. If you think that you would be willing to support a kid's trip in that way, put your name, put your phone number. I will make sure that somebody calls you because we need all the support that we can get. This will be here, and then it'll eventually make its way over here toward the bulletin board. So, Houston trip coming, and we're excited. Want you to also know that worship and music is going to meet this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. So if you're part of that group, or if you'd like to be part of the group that picks hymns, join us at 6 on Wednesday. Judy let me know that maybe with the cold, we're not sure, some of the organ pedals are sticking a lot this morning. So if the organ sounds slightly different than you're used to, Judy is fine, and she is playing lovely like she always does, but it may be that that's what's happening in the cold. Several additions to the prayer list that came about after we printed the bulletin this week. We have added Bill and Betty Roberts, Bill who has a nasty cold and Betty who has pneumonia. They're at home, but they ask for our prayers. And then Steve Curry, who's been in the hospital for going on 3 or 4 days, with some breathing difficulties, asks for our prayers. Steve is the recently returned son of Johnny and Billy Curry. So many of you probably know Steve. They've moved back to the Ledford area fairly recently here. So we keep him in our prayers. Are there other announcements we ought to be aware of? Neil wants me to, is reminding me that we're coming up on the time of the year when everybody who deals with church finances, we have audits every year. We're looking at the 28th of January for those audits because that's when the auditors are available, and we may make other arrangements if we need to with folks who are not available on those days. But plan for the 28th, and more information will be forthcoming. Tomorrow, yeah. Yeah, the first council meeting of the year is always slightly off because we have dinner as part of it. So 6:30 tomorrow night is council meeting for all of you council folks. Thank you, Neil. Other announcements we ought to be aware of. We're excited today that we will celebrate baptisms for Randall and for Cody and for Finn Lomax, and we'll welcome Brandy Lomax as a new member. We're welcoming the other three as new members too, but by nature of their baptisms, they become members automatically. But we're excited to welcome the Lomax family today in that way. If there are no other announcements, I believe there is at least one prayer shawl we need to send around this morning.
Friend of Latifah's nephew, but it's baby Stephen. He's at Brenner's and he has pneumonia, so he needs our prayers.
We wish happy birthday this week to Bobby, to David, and to Judy, and we don't know of any anniversaries. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as our worship continues on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, creator of light and giver of goodness, your voice moves over the waters. Immerse us in your grace and transform us by your Spirit that we may follow after your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated if the children will join us up here for the children's message.
Okay, I may regret this, but we're going to have a little dash. So, if everybody will stand up and come with me, we're going to go to the back doors and just line up at the back yellow doors. Come on, Finn. Come on. Nope. This is called a fresh start dash, okay? So a dash means, since we're in church, we're not going to run. We're going to walk as fast as we can. And when I say fresh start, you have to go back to the yellow doors again. Are you ready? Okay. On your mark. Get set. Go. Walk as fast as you can. Fast as you can. Fast as you can. Come here. Fresh start. Fresh start. You can do it. Ready? On your mark. Get set. Go. Fresh start. On your mark, get set, go. Fresh start. Okay, you can come sit down. I'll tell you why we're doing fresh start now. So the reason we're doing fresh start today is because today is called Baptism of Our Lord. There was a man named John the Baptist, and he went around and he was going to baptize everybody to show them that when they were baptized and part of God's family, we get lots of fresh starts. So how many of you maybe have had a time that you didn't listen to your parents? Be honest, raise your hand if you've ever had a time you did not listen to your parents. All right, put your hand down. How many of you have had a time that maybe you didn't clean up your room? You don't know about that. I'll ask your mom later. Okay, and how many of you have ever had a time that maybe you didn't do your best at school? Maybe you talked when you shouldn't have, or So guess what?
I leave my stuff at school.
Is that what you're supposed to do? No. Oh, so see, you need a fresh start too. So the good thing is, guess what? Anytime you mess up, God gives us a fresh start. And so today, God is going to add some new disciples. Let me back up a minute. John the Baptist even baptized Jesus. And Jesus wants us to go out and get new disciples and baptize them so they know that, guess what? We always get a fresh start with God. If we mess up, He still loves us and He gives us a fresh start. So today, we get Cody and Finn and their daddy Randall are going to become disciples, and they're going to get a fresh start with God too. So today, I thought we would make a circle around the baptismal font. Can everybody come make a circle? And I thought we would say a prayer. Where's Finn? He's back. Okay. We're going to say a prayer for Cody and Finn and their daddy Randall. So everybody grab a hand. Brody can, there we go. And I'm just going to say the prayer today, okay? All right, let us pray. Dear God, we are so excited that Cody, Finn, and Randall will become our disciples today. As they are baptized, let us all remind ourselves of our baptism and the fresh start that you give us when we sin. Thank you for your unconditional love. Amen. And I have children's church today, so if anybody wants to come to children's church, you can line up at the door, okay?
A reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the first day. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and cedars like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord causes oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say, Glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The second reading is from the book of Acts. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Do you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have never heard there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Unto whom then were you baptized?" They answered, "Unto John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. When Paul had laid his hands on them, then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. In those days, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice from heaven, You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So almost 10 years ago, my family visited Tanzania, and I brought back this ebony giraffe. It's a beautiful little carving, and the dark wood on it just shines. The only thing is, these four legs didn't get all carved exactly the same length, and so it tends to be a little unstable. And so twice now, this beautiful giraffe has fallen off the mantle, landed on the hearth, and snapped off one of these thin ears up here. But super glue is a wonderful thing. And really, unless you know what you're looking for, even knowing what I'm looking for, I can hardly tell that it was ever broken. Some things work like that, right? For all intents and purposes, they go back to being the way that they always were. I'm going to put this down because I can't get it to sit up here, and we don't need to break another ear off this morning. But it's wonderful when things can get repaired back to how they always were. When I think about this, I think of my greatest ever, and I'm sure that as long as I live, it will continue to be my greatest ever automotive achievement. When Carrie had that old Dodge Neon when we met, and even when we came to Holly Grove, in fact, and the thing shook like crazy when it idled. And I hardly know anything about cars, but when you know the car is only worth like $300, you start to get really adventurous with what you're willing to try to work on yourself. And so a trip to the junkyard later, my brother and I replaced a broken engine mount, and it was like night and day. This thing ran so smooth. What was broken had gotten put back together, and even though it's been a couple of years now, that car, miraculously in my mind, is still running to this day. And it's great when it works like that, when something broken goes back to being the way it always had been. But that's not always possible, right? Because it can also happen that things are broken to the point that there is no going back. And that, for me, brings to mind the complete set of painted glass ball ornaments that came from my grandmother in their original 1960s packaging that we thought we'd put out this year. We knew they were too fragile for the tree inside with a toddler in the house, so we thought, well, we'll put them on the front door, on the wreath. But, of course, as you are anticipating, we watched several of them shatter then onto the concrete of our front porch as we put them up in November. And when these things fell about 7 feet onto concrete, we're talking all that was left was dust. Like, we're still finding pieces on the porch now, months later. And when it's something like that, there's just no putting it back together the way that it was. There's no repairing it. There was also a time that I think of when something couldn't be repaired. About 7 or so years ago, I was in Bryan, Texas on a first date with this girl, and maybe it was the nerves, but I was talking with my hands, and I knocked over a wine glass into my plate, and it landed in about 50 pieces. It's pretty embarrassing, and even though the story has a happy ending in the long run, there was just no way that that glass was going to go back the way that it was. There's no way it could have been repaired, because sometimes there's simply no putting things back like they were. In the Gospel of Mark, the baptism of Jesus is one of these times when things will never, ever be the same as they were. Jesus is coming up out of the water. Presumably John's dunked him down. And he doesn't just see, as he comes up, the sky being opened. He doesn't see the clouds simply part. No, he sees the heavens torn apart. The word here has a destructive undertone, almost a violent one. And the sense is that what once was has been forever destroyed. The Holy Spirit tearing things apart, to come down among us. This is significant because before, in the progression of the world and our scientific knowledge, before we knew about the way the solar system worked, before we knew about the earth being round, before any of that, the way that people thought of the world was that you had the earth, right? And then you had the sky, and those things we were pretty sure about because we could see them. But then that above the sky, there was this dome that was this physical barrier that sort of sat on top of the sky, and it separated the earthly world down here that we could see and interact with from the heavens up above. And this dome was pretty important because in addition to a layer of water in there that the dome was holding up, the heavens were also widely thought to be where God resided. And you don't necessarily just want God to show up for dinner unannounced, right? What if you haven't vacuumed? So in general, people really weren't upset about this dome arrangement, the way that they understood the world. But it did mean that there was always this sense that there was a permanent barrier then, a permanent separation between people down here on the earth and God up there on the other side of that dome. We've just come through the Christmas season, so I probably don't have to work too hard to remind you that for us, this separation all begins to fall away with the birth of Jesus, right? Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. But what we get in Mark's account of the baptism of Jesus is this over-the-top, explicit announcement when Jesus is baptized that things have forever changed in the way that we view the world. If we thought that there might have been some sort of barrier separating us from God, well, God rips it apart, tears open everything and anything that could separate us from God, tears it down such that it could never be put back as the heavens are torn open and the Holy Spirit descends. And because we know the end of this story too, this Jesus story, we know that this tearing down of barriers between humanity and God does not stop there at the baptism of Jesus, because what was begun in the manger and in the ripping open of the heavens carries through to the cross and to the grave when the curtain of the temple is torn and even very death itself is ripped apart, shattered, smashed into the dust of a million pieces by the God who will not stop loving you, will not stop pursuing you, will not stop tearing apart anything that could get in the way, any barrier that would keep you and God apart. And actually, even though we're talking about breaking things, this is repair. The breaking down of barriers, it turns out, is actually putting something back together that was not whole, our relationship with God. The relationship that we could never make right with our own behavior, but that God repairs. We experience this repair most clearly in the waters of our baptism, where in water and in word God claims us, not if we can check certain boxes, not if we can get it together. We come empty-handed, and God says to us something an awful lot like what God says to Jesus at his baptism. You are my precious child. I love you. God says to us, I've got this one. Don't worry about it. You are mine. It's a tremendous thing to hear. Now, for sure, daily, we have to struggle to live into that identity, to remember our baptisms and the calling that goes with them. But we do that, we struggle that way on firm footing. Footing that we know is firm not because you or I are sure-footed, but because God holds us, holds you, supports you, loves you, and nothing in this world or beyond can change that. Because anything conceivable that could separate you, that could stand between you and God, God tears it to shreds for the sake of making you whole. Thanks be to God. Amen.